This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Biggest boss and I've been in Trillis. I'm a bigger problem when I click with Skrillex. Murder on my mind, it's time to pray to God. My revolver's not religious, the revolution's born. You wanna know my name, then go and tell us all. You wanna know my gang, Suicide Squad. Pistol on my waist, I might make a mistake. Headshot, oh my God, am I crazy? Drugs every corner, this is Gotham City. Killer croc, came to kidnap you to cut out your kidney. Ain't no mercy, got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Rosé, so she know that pussy worth it. Flooded Rolex at the Grammy Awards. They still selling dope, that's those Miami boys. Killers everywhere, it ain't no place to run. Forgive me for my wrongs, I have just begun. Ain't no mercy, ain't no mercy. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Ain't no mercy, ain't no mercy. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Rosé! Don't be begging for your life, cause that's a lost cause. High stakes, body armor, suicide boy. It's the time for games and it's the time to kill. Make up your mind, baby, cause the time is here. Capital murder, capital letters. Yeah, she catching my vibe, but she can't fathom my chatter. Need a couple gang members for these new endeavors. From this point on, anything we do together. Body on the corner, million in the trunk. Seven figures I spend at every other month. Killers on the corner, talents in the clip. Build a palace out in Paris just to fill with bitches. Say my name and I'm coming with the gun squad. Everybody running, homie, there's only one gun. Cocaine, white Ferrari, I'm in the fast lane. Every day was life and death, that's when the cash came. Count money, drug residue, even blood on it. He had a driver until I put my cuz on it. Kicking in the door for the Suicide Squad. Needle in my arm, so I'm do or die for it.
Ain't no mercy, ain't no mercy. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Ain't no mercy, ain't no mercy. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking.
Rosé!
Welcome! It's very loud. It's Friday. It's Back Row and Chill. I'm joined today by Amber Doigthorn.
Hi! Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said it right.
I always panic
about foreign names, but you just got to go for it. Right, welcome. You're filling in today for Noel Clark, who is still filming his new project, mm-hmm. his new film, 10 by 10. Welcome. This is the first time that I've been co-hosting with a girl.
Exciting stuff.
So many vaginas on here right now. It's great.
Girl on girl action today. So we've got a good show on the way. We did have a guest planned, and last minute they've had a bit of an accident and they can't make it this week. I think they literally cracked their head open. So hope you get well soon and we'll have you soon on the show. But we have got loads of other guests coming on. We've got Lucy Patterson on at 5:30 to do our regular film review slot. Excited. Every week, Amber, we go away and we do a little like a little film club. We do our research and we see films and then we come back and review them, say if they're shit, say if they're not.
Nice.
Very honest. We like honest reviews. And same goes for anyone listening. If you want to get involved, tweet us at FUBAR Radio or email in chill@fubarradio.com. If there is a film that you've seen that you're you're raving about, or a film that you're like, do not go to this, do not waste your money, it was awful, please let us know and we will shout you out. Of course. Right, I got a lot of interviews to play you guys today from the cast of The Return of Xander Cage, the new XXX movie, XXX 3.
Good film.
Yes. So I went to see that last week and I got the privilege to interview about 7 or 8 members of the cast, which was an epic day. I've never ever interviewed that many celebrities in one go. It was like, but we did it. We got Ruby Rose and the director of the film, who was actually awesome. He was one of my favourite person to interview out of all of them. He's so on it. So we'll be playing those of you later on. So Amber, if anyone doesn't know who Amber Doigthorn is, you are famo on the internet.
You could say that, yeah.
I definitely could say that. You've got, I mean, not everybody has a couple 100,000 people following them on Instagram and whatnot. What is that like?
It's really weird. Like, I never know how to describe myself. People are like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a Facebook video person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know how to describe it. It's weird.
I'm like a YouTuber, but I don't really YouTube.
Yeah, so I'm like a YouTuber, but on Facebook. Basically a Facebooker, which is not a well-known term. People are just like, what does that mean?
Like, sounds like you're very unemployed. I'm just on Facebook all the time. But no, it's legit turning into a job now. It's sort of what I do in the week as well as acting and radioing and whatever. I'm a Facebooker too. Mm-hmm. So you make comedy content or sort of vlogs and things and put them out on the internet, and a lot of people follow them.
Yep.
And enjoy them, which is really fun. Another thing that you get to do, which is really cool, you get to go to loads of premieres.
It's awesome. Literally, like, the biggest perk of the Facebook thing is all the premieres, the screenings, like, just the most amazing events that you get to go to, and seeing the films before anyone else is sick.
It's quite buzzing. Yeah. And you get to go and see something like, oh my god, even though for no reason, it's, you're only seeing it, what, 24 hours before someone
else. Yeah, but still, it makes a difference. Like, it makes me feel special, okay?
I feel very included. And you get free popcorn at those screenings.
Literally, the free popcorn, free cocktails. What more can you want?
Oh, I haven't had a free cocktail yet.
I have.
I'm going to the wrong screening. Mate. So what's the most recent thing that you've been seeing? What have you been up?
So on Monday, I went to 2 screenings, one for Lego Batman and one for Sing. So they're both like kind of cartoony films for kids, but they're not really for kids. You know how there's like lots of innuendos and adult jokes?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I was laughing my ass off. They were both really, really good. I like them.
Which one did you prefer out of Sing or...
I'm going to say that I preferred Lego Batman.
Okay.
Just because I'm a massive Lego fan and a massive Batman fan. So if you put them together, I'm just like, oh, fangirl.
Lego Batman. Yeah, because I enjoyed the Lego movie, actually. Did you see the original Lego movie?
Yeah, I was like obsessed. Like, you know, there's the song, it's like, everything is awesome. That's what stuck in my head for like months after.
Now it's going to get stuck in my head now. Jesus. I enjoyed the original Lego movie. I don't know. I'm open-minded, but not that excited about Lego Batman. So I'll have to maybe give it a go if I'm in the right mood. But I did really want to see Sing.
Yeah.
That's the animation about the gorilla who is like it's sort of like an X Factor parody, isn't it? They get all the animals to go on this like X Factor.
Yeah, it's kind of like a talent competition. It's basically like a show in a theater full of these different animals compete and sing. But you've got the funniest character. So you've got the gorilla who's in this family and they're all like gangsters. And then he's like singing like Bruno Mars and getting really like soulful and playing the piano. And you're just like, what?
He is played by the lovely Taron Egerton. I don't know which way around to say it. I'm just going to say both. But he's this gorgeous Welsh actor who played Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah,
earlier this year, and he also played the main guy from Kingsman, and he's in Kingsman too. And he was one of the first celebrities that I ever got to interview, and oh my gosh, I fancied him so much. And like it was really the sparks were flying between us. And he asked for my number, and I didn't give it to him in the moment, and I'm really regretting that. And I tried to tweet him after.
You should get him back on the show, just an excuse to like slide your number over, you know.
I have a boyfriend now.
Sorry, dude.
Sorry, girl.
Joking.
But no, I missed my chance with Taron. It could have, one of those, he was a what if.
Yeah.
Never to be. But no, God, he was really good. So but he's an amazing actor as well. Because I saw him in Eddie the Eagle, and then I watched Kingsman. And one, in Eddie the Eagle, he put on a lot of weight to play this like cute, chubby guy. And I fancied him already in that. And then I saw him in Kingsman where he was buffed up and was like, oh my goodness.
So I saw it the other way around and I was like, wow, you've let yourself go. But I mean, I still would. Like, he's still a sexy man.
Still would.
Definitely.
On the skis, like those glasses, those big glasses. So Eddie the Eagle was one of my favourite films of last year. I think one of my top would be Eddie the Eagle or Deadpool was like kind of my top.
I love Deadpool.
Top 2016. I enjoyed both of them in the cinema so much. So that would be my top. Right, let's have a little bit of entertainment news. like have really extra fanfare going on. Right. Oh, it's playing again. Why is it going on around? Okay, we'll just go for a two fanfares there. Oh, we're stuck on the fanfare, for goodness sake. Okay, stop.
It's like triple the excitement.
Triple. I've really bigged it up now. This news isn't that great. It's January. Everything's a little bit low, like down on the... everyone's just a bit... Mm-hmm. Right, so... The biggest thing that's come out this week on the Tinternet is... there's a film called A Dog's Purpose. Have you heard about it?
No.
It's got Josh Gad, who is... He plays LeFou in the new Beauty and the Beast. He also...
Okay.
He played Olaf in Frozen. So he's like one of the big animation voices, king of animation. And he is voicing a dog in this film called A Dog's Purpose. But it's a real life... it's not an animation dog, it's a real life dog.
Oh wow.
You know, so like back in the day, it's very 90s where they would put real real animals in, and then you can sort of, I think they animate the voice, the mouse, so that it goes like blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so it's about to come out, this new movie called A Dog's Purpose, and leaked footage from behind the scenes on set from like last year. There's a footage of them trying to force the German Shepherd actor dog into this sort of choppy water, and the dog is absolutely terrified.
Aww.
And they're pushing him in and he doesn't want to, and then they finally get him into the water, and because they've got all these motor currents trying to make the water look really choppy and dangerous, the dog is clearly struggling and goes under and is really, really distressed, and then everyone's calling cut. Anyway, so someone has leaked this footage just weeks before the opening of
That's
the film.
That's not good.
Oh, well, they're super, super in trouble because obviously in Hollywood they have to stick to like health and safety and
animal cruelty. Yeah,
because to be able to say no animals were harmed at the end of this film, you have to actually pass the super strict guidelines. And anyway, so the officer who was in charge of doing that on the day obviously really, really, really failed, and he's been now sacked. And there's going to be this huge investigation. But meanwhile, oh my gosh, like the PR for that that movie is just nosedived because nobody wants to watch the film because they made it in a horrible, horrible, cruel way. So I don't know who it was who leaked that out. I mean, high five to you, because I don't agree with animal cruelty.
No, I was going to say, like, I'm not sure I want to watch it anymore after hearing that.
But it was just crazy, because then I read a little article on about how, I mean, Hollywood has come a long way. So, because in 1959, with that big epic Ben-Hur, literally so many horses were killed in the making of that movie. And I think it was after... That was like a real pinpoint in time when people went, whoa, okay, we should maybe not kill animals for entertainment.
Not the best thing to do.
So A Dog's Purpose is sort of everything that's flying around the internet right now. Talking of Deadpool,
mm-hmm.
Casting is happening right now for Deadpool 2. And what's funny is that Deadpool has got quite a unique story in the fact that it was so hard to get funded. It'd been in the pipeline for years to be made, and production companies weren't having it. They weren't interested in it. And then they leaked a bit of tester footage of Ryan Reynolds and everything in the suit, and literally the internet went crazy for it, and so it literally got so much a fan base before it was even made.
Yeah, I remember that.
So eventually it was made, but on a very, very, very low budget. And so I love Deadpool for being the complete underdog of all like the Marvel superhero movies. And then now, obviously, it was such a huge hit, everyone's trying to clamber in. So they're doing casting, and the role of Cable, who I wasn't actually sure, I'm not really down on my comics, so I don't know who that was, but apparently everybody and their dog is trying to audition for this new like baddie in the new Deadpool movie. And we don't know who it is yet. Don't know who it is, but whoever it is, I mean, there's probably a lot of blowjobs going on right now in Hollywood trying to get that role from everyone. You know the Lego movie?
Yeah.
I think we're talking about. There's going to be an emoji movie.
Yeah, I saw that. Not keen.
An emoji movie? Come on.
Like, I like using it on my phones, but at the end of the day, I'm like, have I used too many emojis today? Probably. Let's have a day off. Like, don't think I need a film about that.
I mean, sometimes I can just talk in emojis.
Me
too. You can have a proper conversation.
Exactly. Like,
symbols.
I regularly do this thing with my friends, and they're like, okay, give me a song. And I'll give them a song in emojis, and they have to guess what it is, and that's like the peak of my day.
Oh, mate,
it's great
like that. I just normally, I mean, there's a couple of emojis that you overuse, you know.
100%.
It's like the monkey emoji,
literally just
the monkey emoji with eyes over. I just use it too many times. But a whole movie, I mean, there have got to be, it's kind of a bit of a, it's a bit of a slap in the face to all these artists who are making these amazing stories and all this, like, trying to get funding for these amazing movies that mean something to everyone. And then there's, like, the emoji movie.
I heard it and I was like, oh, this is really funny. It's a really good joke. And then I realised it wasn't a joke. I'm like, wow, that's what 2017 is going to be like.
They're really serious about it. And apparently, Sir Patrick Stewart, who plays Xavier in X-Men.
He's not in it.
He's playing. No. Guess which emoji he's playing.
I want to say eggplant, but that doesn't work. The monkey with the hand?
No, he's playing the poop emoji.
Oh.
I mean, come on, Sir Patrick Stewart playing the poop emoji in the Emoji Movie.
That's a bit of a dump.
Come on. And Goosebumps. I was a massive fan of Goosebumps as a kid.
Same.
I used to read the books and sneakily watch the TV show because my mum didn't let me, but I used to like sneakily watch it and scare
on
myself.
On the DL.
And then I couldn't tell her why I was having nightmares because she didn't know I was watching it. But... Jack Black made a Goosebumps remake, which I didn't actually get to see. I kind of wanted to see it because I'm a fan of Jack Black and a semi-fan of Goosebumps, nostalgically. But I didn't get to see it. But apparently it's been given a massive green light for a number two, and it's coming out next year, January 2018. Where are we? And I read that, and I was like, next year, 2018. I went, no. And I was like, yep.
I'm still stuck in 2013, not going to lie.
I know.
I'm just way back in the past.
I've been trying to do my tax recently and I'm finding all my like tax receipts and I'm like, yep, that one for 2014. No, not relevant. Okay, and finally, final bit of entertainment news. Another new trailer for the new Power Rangers movie has come out.
I am super excited.
And I'm weirdly excited about this because I was a fan of this, like the original little shitty series.
Yeah.
I mean, I say shitty, it was brilliant, but really low budget. And someone said, right, let's remake this. Let's make it really urban and cool. And let's just shove so much money in it. And I've seen the trailer and it looks quite good. So.
It looks insane. I like the artwork. I saw something on Instagram today and it was literally like the individual character artwork. And someone's realised it looks the exact same as Drake's latest cover artwork.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're copying Drake, man.
Or maybe Drake is designing the Power Rangers.
You know, I haven't thought that. That would be so sick.
Maybe that
was. Drake behind the film.
And then he's going to come out and like, I designed the whole thing. Dudes. Well, one thing that I was like, I'm not sure on, was you actually finally in this trailer got to see the actual Power Ranger suits. And they've gone for the whole muted design. So there is a red Power Ranger and a green and a pink, but they're like very subtle. It's like a very subtle pink, a very subtle red. And I'm like, come on, if you're going to be a Power Ranger, you got to wear
the brightest thing,
you
like
have
the
to
biggest
be
suit.
Top to toe yellow spandex, right? which Power Ranger were you? Which one did you
Oh, I was always the red one. Always.
The red one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to be yellow or red. I had no interest in being pink.
Oh, no, the other ones didn't even exist. There was only red.
You want to be the red one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to be red or yellow, I think, were my favourites. Didn't like all the... No, that was it. I didn't want
No, literally, just red.
And yeah, and the other day, like, my boyfriend was like, no, you have to be the pink one. I was like, why?
Just because you're a woman.
You be the pink one. You be the pink one then, dick. Right, so... Well, that's the end of my entertainment news. We'll pop to a little song. So... Last week, I tried to end the show with a remix from the new XXX movie, and we ended up playing the wrong remix. So I found the right remix, and this is All the Way Up by Fat Joe, Remy Ma, and David Guetta. It's All the Way Up. So we're gonna enjoy this, and we'll be back. You're on Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Amber.
Stop me, I'm all the way up. What you want, I got what you need.
I'm all the way.
what you need.
I'm all the way up.
Trying to like smoothly transition back into talking. You're listening to Background and Chill with Johanna James and Amber Doig Thorne today. Right, we just had entertainment news. Got a little bit more, a smidge of entertainment news, more actual news. If you're a cinema lover and you're in London, do you like Curzon? Have you ever been to a Curzon cinema?
I have.
Yeah, I normally go to the Shaftesbury Avenue one, or it's where a lot of people go for meetings, and if you're in the whole film industry, you'll have a meeting and a coffee, and you'll see someone there talking. If you sit down in the cafe area, you'll listen to all these weird conversations around you, being like, "No, we need to end the script with her dying." And you're like, "Okay, fine." Such a film world. But the Curzon cinemas are opening a brand new cinema in their chain, which is going to be in Aldgate, so near the sort of Shoreditchy. Well, of course they are. You know, it's very hipster.
I'm surprised they don't have one there already.
Hipster trendy, and it's going to be opening on the 20th, which is. What's that? That's Sunday, right? I don't even know what day we are on today.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's Sunday. It's the Curzon Aldgate. They're doing a fun promotion over the weekend at the opening. They're calling it the Wild Goss Chase because they have printed 30 mini Ryan Goslings on a 3D printer. From his pose in the La La Land poster. And they're going to be hiding them all over the cinema over the opening weekend, which is January the 20th to the 22nd, for a wild goss chase. And they're each going to have... each little goss has got a coloured base that corresponds to a prize. And the top prize being a Curzon cult membership, which is worth like £350. So it's all free tickets for a whole year of cinema, which is just crazy. And yeah. So there's also going to be DJ sets and stuff from Cherry Stones and Johnny Trunk, along with cocktails in the bar. So
nice.
Probably go and check out the website for the Curzon and go down and you know, grab yourself a little mini Ryan Gosling. For if anything else, I'd just like a little mini Ryan Gosling in my room.
Even without the prize, I'd quite happily take some. Who doesn't love Ryan Gosling?
You know what? I fell in love with Ryan Gosling when he played Noah. Well, actually, I didn't fall in love with Ryan Gosling. I realised, it's taken me a while to realise, I fell in love with Noah, like the character. Because I've seen Ryan Gosling in other films and I haven't really felt anything. So I realised it was the character that... I just fell in love with Noah and I got a bit obsessed with finding a Noah. And then I'd managed to get over that. And then I went and saw La La Land and I saw his Sebastian and I was like, damn it!
Falling in love all over again.
Well, it's Ryan Gosling like dancing and playing the piano and he's got this really nice voice and... Oh, these little like puppy eyes and mate, I think anyone, if you're a musician, if you can like play the piano or play the guitar, that's like your one step in already.
Yeah, 100%.
That's like a cheat code for most girls.
And then if you
girls.
Look like him, I mean, you're sorted.
If you look like him, you play the, and then you start dancing, and dancing's my third cheat code. Like, if you dance with me, you kind of, I fall in love, really. So I was like in the cinema, like, damn it! Did it again, I've been Ryan.
God damn it, Ryan.
God damn it, Ryan. But I really, no, I enjoyed his performance in. Everyone's talking about Emma Stone in her performance, which was amazing if you haven't seen La La Land. But I've got to say, Ryan was he's an equal partner in that film, and everyone's applauding Emma. But I think Ryan was really good too. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't had the chance yet, but I want to. So they've just won like 2 Golden Globes.
Yeah, and it's up for like all the Oscars and everything. And
it looks insane. I've watched the trailer like 500 times. I need to go and see
it's
it.
It's very... it wasn't actually what the film that I thought I was going to go and see. I won't say too much because I'm going to review it later on the show with Lucy Patterson. But it's weird when someone has all this like buzz around a film, like, you have to go and see it, it's amazing. I kind of went in and I was a little bit disappointed because it wasn't the film that I was picturing.
Well, it never lives up to the hype if people are hyping it that
exactly.
much.
Exactly. So I'll explain a little bit later. But I still think it's worth a go, but I don't think it's worth all the hullabaloo that's mm-hmm. going around at the moment. But I did enjoy the music, so I thought I'd play a little song, well, one of my favourite songs from La La Land, because it does feature John Legend. He plays a character in the movie. And then he also sings and stuff. And so I thought I'd play one of my favourite songs, John Legend, from La La Land. It's called Start a Fire. Yeah, I'll just play it and you guys can see if you like it or not.
Moving my body, I don't know if this is wrong or if it's right. I don't know if it's the beat or something's taking over me, and I just know I feel so good tonight. I don't know. So good tonight.
Love a bit of piano playing. Love a bit of piano playing there. Right, so yeah, that was from La La Land, John Legend. And you just told me the most amazing little bit of behind the scenes info about La La Land.
Yeah.
And so what was it? Just to repeat what you just said.
So obviously in La La Land, Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling play the two leads. Mm-hmm. And in Beauty and the Beast, obviously Emma Watson is playing the lead.
Yeah.
However, Emma Watson was actually meant to be playing the role that Emma Stone is, but she turned it down. And Ryan Gosling was up for playing the Beast, but he turned it down. So the cast could have been like the complete opposite way around.
Oh my goodness.
Which would just like, I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, so if it was Emma, I think, well, see, the thing, I love Emma Stone. I've always loved her work. Yeah. She's an amazing comedian, a really good actress, and she's just really weird and cool, and I like her. So I'm a fan of her, and I'll applaud all of her work.
Yeah.
But Emma Watson kind of bugs me.
I can't see her with Ryan Gosling. That just doesn't work for me. No. Like Emma Stone and Ryan, the perfect couple.
Oh yeah, they've got really good chemistry.
But I know what you mean about Emma Watson.
But Emma Watson just kind of bugs me. I really liked her as Hermione, but she just bugs me in any other role.
I feel like that's because she is Hermione.
Yeah, maybe because she is Hermione and not really like an actress. But maybe I'm just jealous, a little jealous green monster here. Being every role she gets, I'm like, could have been me. But no. So sorry, Emma, if you're listening. They're both called Emma. Well, that's weird.
Huh.
Emma. Oh, well, Emma Stone actually isn't called Emma Stone. She had to change it to Emma Stone because she was Emily Stone before, but there was already an Emily Stone actress.
I don't see her as an Emily. She suits Emma better.
I know, but that's not her real name. She's also not a real ginger.
She's blonde.
She's blonde, so she's just... There's all sorts of falsities going on. Maybe you've got false teeth too. We don't know.
False everything.
Probably in Hollywood, everyone's got fake boobs and fake lips and fake everything, haven't they? So we don't know. But no, okay, right. And are you excited about the Beauty and the Beast film?
I'm really excited.
Because I'm really excited. It's one of my favourite Disney. So I'm kind of going in there with like this horrible, like, don't ruin my favourite childhood film.
I'm so scared they're going to ruin it just because I literally grew up with the film and it was one of my favourites. But... I've seen the trailer. It looks good.
It's
I've heard some of the
good.
Audio. Like, I mean, expectations.
Emma Watson, apparently, she had kicked up a big feminist fuss and she refused to wear corsets.
I read that.
And I was a bit like, come on, Emma. Like, it's in, you're playing bloody Belle. Just wear the frickin' corset, you know?
It's like Cinderella. Do you remember the tiny corset that she had to wear? But it looked insane.
It's like a historical movie with historical clothes. Just wear the frickin', you know, I wouldn't... imagine her being in another film and being like, now I'm going to wear trousers. Like, no, women didn't wear trousers then. Stop it.
I feel like we should have directed the film.
I think, you know, would have been great. We should have been in the film. And who was it that I found that is playing Lumiere? Ewan McGregor.
I can see that.
He's playing Lumiere.
I could definitely
French,
see that.
I mean, a bit annoying they didn't get a real French guy. I always feel that, like, if you can, always cast within reality. So if there is a... Yeah. If there's a French character, get a real French person rather than someone trying to put on a French accent. If there's a real...
I feel like they don't do that anymore. Like, did you hear all of the drama around, you know, Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, exactly. Didn't get
don't
an Asian
cast,
girl.
Like a white person for an Asian role. And everyone was really annoyed. And I'm like, you know, I agree with them. That'd be so weird. That doesn't make sense.
I read that as well when I was like whizzing through the internet. And I read this week they've opened a play in London. And it's based, it's an old fable, which is based in China. So the characters' names are called like Mrs. Wang and director Wang and stuff. And they've cast an entirely white cast.
That just makes no sense to me.
And then, well, the reason being what the director said, or the theatre company are saying is that it's just a fable, and it's not literally set in China. They're just telling the story of the fable. I'm like, no, just be honest. You just wanted white actors, and you didn't want to get an Asian cast because you didn't think an Asian cast was going to bring you the money.
Yeah.
Let's be real. So it was a bit like, it just bugs me. Get real
Same.
French people to play Lumiere. That's it. That's my rant over. I've had my little film rant. Okay, we're going to come up soon and have our first guest. We've got Peter Stone. He's from The Doppelgang. He's going to be telling us all about his new show at the Tristan Bates Theatre in London. So we're going to pop to a song, and then we're going to get in the studio. We're going to have some fun. We're also going to be going Facebook Live. So if you want to see what we're doing today, we're going to be playing some fun and games. And we're trying something new today. We've got a prop box, and we're going to be getting some funny wigs and stuff out. So go on to Johanna James' Facebook page. Probably in the next 20 minutes or so, and we're going to be going live, so you guys can leave us a comment and we'll say hello. Right, I'm going to pop to another song. This is by System of a Down. It's a Lonely Day. It's from the film Disturbia. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. With Shia LaBeouf.
Is it Shia or Shia?
I say Shia.
I kind of go to Shia.
Shia LaBeouf Ting is what I call him, because I really fancied him. Before he went properly mental, I really fancied him.
He's a bit crazy now.
But weirdly, this that film was directed by the same director as XXX.
Really?
The one
I love both films. So.
The one we just saw. So amazing. But anyway, this is Lonely Day. We'll be back. It's Back Row and Chill.
Such a lonely day, and it's mine, the most loneliest day of my life. Such a lonely day, should be banned. It's a day that I can't stand. The most loneliest day of my life. Such a lonely day. such a lonely day, and it's mine. It's a day that I'm glad I survived.
Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Boom! We are back, back for it and chill. We've got our first guest in the studio. Welcome, welcome very much. Peter Stone, you've
Hello.
Come in, a thespian, yes. To talk about your new show, The Doppelgang. So, what is it?
What's it about?
And what's yeah. going on?
There's a lot to explain about it, I suppose. But I'll do it quickly.
Okay.
So, it's set in the Second World War, mm-hmm. In a theatre during the height of the Blitz. It's got three performers that aren't very good at the time.
Okay.
We're good.
We're playing not good.
So many layers. So, it's like a trifle. And then we've got a theatre manager whose theatre isn't doing too well, because it's the end of the vaudeville sort of mm-hmm. Period, and we go through these ideas, series of events, and we stumble across these unproduced Marx Brothers scripts, and we stupidly decide to impersonate them. And it's the second act really focuses around whether or not that works for them or not, and there's some other stories about the characters along the way. And
and who do you play?
I play a guy called Tommy Doppler. Whether or not that's his real name, you find out in the play.
Okay.
A bit more of a story there. But I also play Harpo Marx.
And so it's going to be playing in London. I've got the Tristan Bates Theatre.
Yes.
In Tower Street in London. Mm-hmm. And you haven't started yet.
No,
you have started.
No, we have, yes.
You have. I've got my dates wrong. See, I'm still in last
it's
next
fine.
Year.
It's fine.
So you started this week, but you go on until the 11th of February. So yeah. You've got quite a run.
Yeah, we've got a four-week run there.
Nice. That's good for London.
It's nice, yeah. It's nice because we toured it a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this time round, we built the set for the space. And we're quite ambitious as well. We do everything ourselves. It's crazy.
And how did you? Who wrote it?
So it's a guy called Dominic Hedges, who uh-huh. we knew because he initially trained as an actor at the University of Central Lancashire, and he was the year above us. But then he went and did a MA at Goldsmiths.
Nice.
And we sort of contacted him and we said, look, you know, we've got this idea. We can't do it. Please, can you make it happen? And he's made it happen. It's brilliant. So,
yeah. And so you said you've toured. So did you play the same character as you did on the tour?
I did.
Did you swap her out?
The initial idea came from myself and Jay Curry when we were at university together, and we did a module about classical comedy, and we did these Marx Brothers scenes from The Duck Soup, and we sort of have never forgot how much we really enjoyed doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And he played Chico Marx in that. I played Harpo Marx. It's just because I don't like learning lines, you know. He's the mute, so it's easy for me.
Oh. You can express with your eyes.
Yes.
That's amazing. And so how long because you've done it before, how long was your rehearsal process to get, like, sharpened back up again?
Well, a lot of it got rewritten and reworked and a brand new set, and there's quite a lot of scene changes that we do, and we like to make that part of the action. So we had I suppose it's a bit of a luxury, a 3-week rehearsal period again. For the tour we had 4 weeks, and then for this we've had 3 weeks just to sort of get it back to where it needs to be again.
And just about yourself, mm-hmm. Where did you sort of train, and why did you become an actor? And
We talked about this when we were doing rehearsals, and I became an actor because I played a female cow when I was younger in the Nativity. I had a great song. It was like, I've got big brown thighs and lovely eyes. I was in year six and I was singing this song, and I look back at it, I'm like, how did I get away with that? And it's madness. So that's why I became an actor, because I loved performing that. I'm saying this on radio. What am I doing?
Do you know what? That's going to be stuck in my head now. I'm going to be like a little bit drunk later on, being I've got blah blah blah.
It'll be number one next week.
Great. Yeah.
We all trained. The whole cast trained at the University of Central Lancashire in Preston on the acting course there, and the course leader actually directed this play.
Oh, I do love, like, the Blitz era. Really fascinates me. And actually, weirdly, yesterday, like, London came to a standstill.
Yes.
Because they found a World War II bomb.
Yeah.
In Embankment, which is literally where I just moved from there. I lived on the street opposite Embankment Station and I went past Embankment every single day, there and back. So I was just like, all of the last year I've been next to this huge bomb and like had no idea. Well, no one's known for 70 years
that
it's been there. Yeah, that's crazy. And I was talking to my friend, he's a sort of policeman, I thought, you know, a little bit more about it than me, like bombs. And I said, you know, how long can these things last? Like, is there like a safe period where after like 100 years we're kind of, they're never going to explode? Yeah. And he was like, no, that's thing about bombs, there isn't really a sell-by date.
What?
They can just sit there.
That's terrifying.
So he was like, in theory, that, you know,
it
in
could
theory
go off any day.
They can go off whenever. Oh, so I was just like, oh,
good job that you moved.
We didn't know about it. And in the play, there's bombs going off. Oh. I mean, so people must have been panicking, you know, outside. Yeah. Like, what's going in there?
Is it real? Is it on? the shudder of the blitz.
Yes.
But no, I did that. I find that whole era just like really fascinating, and anything about like movies and whatnot. And there's a party company who do sort of blitz parties in London, and they find underground bunker spaces, and then it's a strict dress code, and it's it's almost like a piece of immersive theatre, but you get to do it because you're partying, and they have like a mess hall for the soldiers and stuff. I'm like, oh, sounds amazing. Hello. Let's go. This is cool. So have you done anything before in London, or is this your first time on the stage in London?
No, yeah, we have, where the company, because it's our theatre company, we did a speculative piece about the life of Noel Coward. We did that at the White Bear Theatre. We did that, I think, 3 years ago now.
Okay, so it happened out.
Yeah, and that was a 3-week run, and we thought, you know, let's do another week, an extra one for this one. So, and we wanted to get more central as well, because it's right in the heart of the West End, really, where it is at the moment.
Yeah,
so it's brilliant.
Crazy cool. And so you're from up north, ordinarily. And do you get a lot of acting work up north, or do you find you're gravitating towards London?
It's a mix, because obviously you've got things like Media City that have moved. And, you know, you've got that. So there's I've got a lot of friends that sort of find work there now as well. But it depends what type of work, really. You sort of have to move around quite a lot, don't you? There's still loads in London that you have to
come
down for.
Are you a theatre actor, or have you done film and whatnot as well?
Haven't done much film. I'm more theatre based. Yeah, just because we create our own work, basically.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for the phone to ring, we're the ones ringing it instead, you know.
Well, so that's what, ringing yourself.
Yes.
Hello, I'd love to play that part. Yes, you've got it. Good.
Nailed that audition.
Progress. Well, that's kind of what happened with me, because I was, I didn't do much theatre, I did film, and there were such huge gaps in between jobs. I was like getting so bored creatively. I was like, I need to do something. So then I started just like filming myself and writing my own sort of little quick stories and sketches, and then popping them online, and that's how it really started rolling. And then now that's sort of more doing that more than doing anything else, just doing like online comedy. I think it's really, I really like power to the people who decide to sort of sit there,
make it
being
happen,
like, oh, it's really slow this year. It's like, well, you can, you know, put on your own play, or you can put,
exactly.
I did try to put on a play, but I didn't even know where to start, and it was it's quite hard. You have to start with a bit of funding. It's just so hard to get in the door of,
well, that's it. We work with the Arts Council, so we get funding from them, project dependent. And so they've funded this, because they funded the tour, they funded the research and development of it, and they funded this bit of it as well.
How,
so
it's brilliant.
So
investors and funding from councils. Yeah, I didn't know really where to start.
It's a lot
that.
Of paperwork. It takes the fun out of it a bit at times.
Yeah, but it's all worth it in the end, because you're doing what you want to do, and you get a little bit kicked because you got yourself there.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, that's really cool.
I'll sleep at the end of it all.
Are you hitting London hard in the meantime?
Well, we've gone out every night so far, so I suppose, everything's open much later up here as well. No. Down here, sorry.
Yeah, up, down,
so.
You're up. You're,
I know, I'm so
you're
confused.
Pissed right now. okay, right, we're going to pop to a song, and then afterwards we're going to do a Facebook Live, and we're going to play some games, and we're going to, let's just have some fun, and I'm going to audition you for my movie.
Brilliant.
That I'm
going
to make up right now. Right, I'm going to play a little bit of Bond. I thought, let's go back to a Bond. So I went for the most recent Bond, Writing on the Wall by Sam Smith. So here we go. A little bit of sexy Bond time on Back Row and Chill.
What about sunrise? about all the things that you said we were to gain? What about killing fears? Is there a time? What about all the things that you said was yours and mine? Did you ever stop to notice all the blood we've shed before? Did you ever stop to notice this crying earth, this weeping shore?
So that actually wasn't a Bond theme. I really wish it was. There was a slight technical malfunction and we ended up playing some Michael Jackson. But I love that song anyway. So what the heck? Don't even mind. It should have been a Bond theme. That's all I'm saying. Sorry about that. Right, so we've still got Peter Stone in the studio. We're about to go Facebook Live. We are Facebook Live, so hello everybody. We're about to play a game called Mock Audition, where basically I play a director. I'm going to be a director, and I'm going to make a movie, and I want to see whether or not you or you can be in my movie. So I'm going to think up on the spot exactly what it is. So it's the Deep South. Okay. It's 1850 in the Deep South, and we've got Curly Sue. You can play Curly Sue.
Hold on, let me
and,
get this
And we've got Colonel...
You can't say Colonel Mustard now. But. What?
And...
Okay.
There we go. You'd look more like Mr. T. But right, so okay. we're at a lawn party picnic in the Deep South in 1850.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, popping all those chains. Guys, if you want to watch this, you're listening in, pop onto Johanna James' Facebook page.
It's a good
and
look.
You're going to find us now. Hi, guys. So, okay, ready. Go. So it's a party, and it's a lovely Sunday afternoon, and you're looking for a wife.
Hey.
And, how you doing?
And you guys are going to be introduced to each other, so we're just going to see how this goes. And I might throw in bits and bobs along the way, and we'll see what nice. What's going on.
Deep South, nice. Right? Okay. I don't know what this voice is, but we'll go with it.
Howdy, y'all! Am I doing the right accent here?
Ooh, yes,
I don't even know.
It sounds more convincing than mine.
Well, thank you, sir.
So, can I buy you a drink?
I would love a drink, sir. Can I have some of your mighty fine joint?
Oh, you're actually a teetotal.
Oh, I mean...
Recovering alcoholic.
No. Sorry.
You don't want a drink.
I'm an alcoholic. I'll just have some of that fine joint, please. Like, the whole thing.
I like that you've given up alcohol, but not a joint.
I mean, you've got to have something.
And suddenly, the sun goes down.
Oh.
Where has the light gone?
I don't know, but it's hella romantic.
And it is.
Curly Sue turns into a werewolf.
Oh!
Oh, my dear lord. It's strangely attractive. These feelings, I just don't understand.
Oh! Pass me the joint still. Werewolves like joints.
And... Colonel Love Song loves it so much, but his nose, I think that's a nose.
Yes, we're going to say it is.
The nose.
Oh dear, what has happened to me now? This is madness. I love it. The sun has gone, the wolf is out, and my nose has... become larger because I'm attracted. Clearly.
No, actually, guys, cut. I'm not feeling
it.
Gosh. I'm not feeling one. I think we're going to change the location of the movie. Let's set it in the future. In the future.
In the future.
I like that.
Maybe in space.
Are we Curly Suing or not Curly Suing?
I'm thinking, I'm thinking in space. Let's go
in
that
space.
Way.
Got to think of a space accent now.
Oh, God. This is definitely going to end up racist. I can feel it.
Guys, you're going to be vampires. But you are vegan vampires stuck in space and you're
vegan.
Very hungry.
Are we putting in the teeth?
Let's just see. Or we can just...
All right.
Okay, I can...
Okay,
go. And, go for it.
So, can you crush the salad?
Here's the salad. Do you want some extra dressing?
Yeah. Can you crush the tomato sauce?
Here it is. Would you like some more cucumber?
Yeah. Can you crush the radish?
Oh my god, no, that's meat.
Oh no! Who
put the steak there?
I don't know! I need it though, give it here. Give it, I want it.
No.
Lovely stuff, it's really good. Why am I still so American? It's better now than it was earlier.
They
really help.
Then, guys, your spaceship is about to hit an asteroid, and you're going to confess your undying love for one another, but you don't have to have your teeth in.
All right. I'm dribbling everywhere.
Asteroid.
Sandra, even though you're dribbling everywhere, I need to tell you now.
Bruce, I have something to tell you too.
You go first.
I love you almost as much as I love veganism.
Vegan? What? Almost as much?
Almost as much? I've never said that to any man before.
I don't know why I'm so camp right now. It must be the pressure. It's just getting to me.
Your changing accents make me love you so much more.
They make myself. They make me love me more.
All right, cut. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
And this is where I get no acting.
Do you know what?
That's it. I will never get an agent now. That is it.
The talent that was coming out of that, I think,
amazing.
Shocking.
Right?
No, I loved it. I loved it. I felt like you were torn between your love of veganism and your love for each other and your love for yourself. I think.
Yes. Apparently.
So it was so layered. You know, I'm thinking like, you know, I don't want to jinx it, but BAFTA, you know?
Maybe.
So I'll definitely be putting you in my movie. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching, everybody at home.
Thank you.
And listening. it's Back Row and Chill.
I kept forgetting that was recording. I'm just like feeling it. Like,
you were in the moment, darling. You were in the moment. So I'm going to pop into a bit more music. Well, we don't know what it's going to be because the last one was wrong. So I'm hoping this is going to be David Bowie Golden Years. But let's just see. And I'll have a little boogie to the Bowie. Oh, it is. It is.
There we go.
There we go. A bit of that way. Love it.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere. That sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Come, brother, baby. This might be the lost, but so what's I'm begging you see for little soul. Come, brother, baby. Last night they loved you, opening doors and pulling some strings. Walk luck and you looked in time. Never look back, walk tall, act fine. Come, little baby. I'll sleep with you, baby, for a thousand years. Put those golden touch you in these golden years. Go, golden years. Go, wah, wah, wah. Come, little baby. Some of these days and it won't be long. Gonna drive back down where you once belonged. In the back of a dream car 20 foot long. Don't cry, my sweet, don't break my heart. Doing all right, you've gotta get smart. Wish upon day, I believe, oh Lord, I believe all the way. Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years. There's my baby lost, that's all. Let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come brother for baby. Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
I'll stick with you, baby, for a thousand years. Nothing's gonna touch you in these golden years.
Brilliant. Love a bit of Bowie. I saw a really good documentary on the BBC. They're doing a lot of Bowie documentaries at the moment. And because I wasn't I wasn't like a huge Bowie fan. I appreciated him and I knew sort of him, but I wasn't of the era of the Bowie, so I didn't grow up with him or anything like that. So I'm learning more and more, like, oh, he did this song and this song and this song and this song, and just, yeah, he was cool. He was a cool character.
Oh, I was a fan.
Oh, I was a fan. I didn't even know it. And like, I'm watching interviews with him, and he was saying like he had a huge stage fright. And the only way that he could overcome it, he did not like being himself on stage. He had no, he didn't want to perform the songs. He wanted to write them, but he was kind of forced onto the stage. So he thought, right, I'm going to create a alternative character in Ziggy Stardust, and then he found that he could just like psychologically just.
Switch that on.
Beyonce does,
and it's a bit like Beyonce with her Sasha Fierce. And I was like, yeah. So if, like, you know, if you got stage fright, just be like somebody else. There. Do you do that when you get nervous when you're on stage?
I used to get like panic attacks and everything.
Yeah.
I was like, it kept getting put in like hospital because it's just like I couldn't breathe properly.
Then like, what happened? He tried to sing.
Yeah. He did breathing exercises. But no, like now I go a little bit crazy. I just talk to myself. I like, go to a wall and I just give myself like a pep talk. But I argue back at myself. I'm like, oh, it really doesn't matter. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. And I do that.
Works.
And it works. I go out and I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter.
I forget, well, especially with things like live theatre, because I don't do it so often. I'm so used to just filming myself and retaking. So I did this like piece of live theatre maybe a year, 2 years ago. It's like, it was a scratch night shorts for the Royal Court, and it was a two-hander, and I remember like just waiting to go on stage before, and we were the last one of the whole thing. Oh, right. So I felt a bit like headline. And I just remember going then, I was very calm, but inside going, what are you doing? This isn't for you. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You can't do that. Just leave now. Just walk out the door. I just felt like being like, so sorry. This has been a massive mistake. But then I felt
to leave.
What am I doing? This isn't even fun. And then I felt bad because obviously my scene partner had worked really hard. So I was like, I'll just do it for him and then I'll never do this again. Mm-hmm. And then I got on stage and I remembered that I enjoyed it. Mm. It's kind of like, it's like that sitting at the beginning of a roller coaster. You're like, I can't do this. Yeah. And then you're on it like, woo!
Yo, I'm never doing this again. A week later, I'm back at it.
It's a new play. But yeah, it's weird how people deal with their stage fright. And I remember, like, initially as well, before I went on camera, I used to get camera fright, and I used to have this weird twitchy lip or a twitchy eye.
Oh, I used to have a twitchy eye. I'd be like,
yeah, you get on the camera and suddenly you'd be like,
everyone just thinks you're winking at them. They think you're like super attracted to everyone. I'm like, no, I'm just nervous.
I know, I got the nervous eye, and I used to get like a nervous sort of twitchy lip. But it's hard to just stay calm, breathe, and okay, I'm gonna maybe try and pep talk to myself a little bit.
Just argue with yourself. That's it.
Just been like,
have a go at yourself. It's fine.
It's like, who are you talking to? I'm talking to myself. I'll try that with my boyfriend. Like, I'm not arguing with you. I'm arguing with myself. Okay. But has anything ever gone wrong? Because I find that's one of my favourite things as an actor as well, when talking to other actors and being like, right, what is your biggest fuck up? There's got to be, because I love that about anything on set. My first questions I ask any celebrity or anything I meet, I say, what went wrong with the film? Or like, what went wrong with the play? Because that's my favourite.
Yeah.
Have you never had a...
excuse me. When we did Coward, we had these like flats, and they had like these little triangles on that like they then like domino effect down and changed the walls completely.
Oh, nice.
And but they had to be like shunted from behind, so it was like it was jolting you into a different scene. And one of the actors there, Jake, I think it was him. So I'm on stage doing this lovely scene change. It was lovely, I promise you. I turn around and I see this flat falling, and it's like in a really intimate space, so everyone can see it. So I like dive over and throw myself against it in a really dramatic manner, like ta-da, and you know, pulled it off, I think. But you know, they knew
when the set falls apart.
Yeah.
Right. And have you seen any of the play that goes wrong or anything?
I want to see it.
No, because I've seen that 4 times. It tickles. It is absolutely like piss yourself in your seat funny. Anyone who's ever put on a performance or done anything of that kind, you get it on another level to what anyone else does. Mm-hmm. And then I went over Christmas. I went to see Peter Pan Goes Wrong by the same theatre company. Mm-hmm. They're trying to put on like a really good production of Peter Pan, and everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Tinkerbell gets electrocuted. Like the one of the actors forgets his line, so has to wear this massive headset which keeps picking up radio signals of other things. So his lines are coming out like mental. And you know, people, there are fights, there's backstage love affairs going on, and it's like the whole thing is just absolutely brilliant. And I think, so I paid all this money to go and, well, technically my mum did because it's a Christmas present. Thank you, mum. But paid all this money to go and see it, and then the very next day the BBC played it. So if you do want to see it, if you missed it in London, I think you can see it on like BBC iPlayer or something now. But oh my gosh, so yeah, things that go wrong, because I've had that where you're on stage and I've come out at the beginning all the lines are gone. There's nothing there in my little pouch of bag. I'm like, anything? Say something.
I did that on one of the nights. I got there's a bit where I get picked up, and Jake picks me up, and for some reason all my lines just go out of my head for a split second. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say now. I started saying lines, but they were from a different scene,
different different country.
It just got bigger and bigger. I started monologuing all of a sudden. Brilliant.
I used to have this thing where, when I was at drama school, where we would have to perform. We do our work in the week, and then every Friday we would perform to the school, and the head teacher and all the staff would come and watch your work. And I don't know, I would just always mess up on the final. I'd be fine in rehearsal, and my teacher said, like, I don't understand it. Like, you nail it in rehearsal, there's nothing wrong. As soon as you get in front of as soon as there's an audience, you just do crazy things and it all goes out. And it was like almost like, because I thought I was going to forget my line, I then did. But sometimes it can work in a good way. I remember this one time I was working on this speech, Shakespearean speech, and it was like me pleading with the king for my life. And I was there and I was halfway through it and I just forgot. Or like three thirds of what, and I forgot, and then I was just sort. I think I let out this like,
standard scream.
I was so angry at myself, and then I started crying because I was upset at myself for like failing it or whatever. And then I think I might have made up a line, or anyway, I ended it, and like the head teacher then like stood up and was like, now that. It was a performance. And then I was like,
extreme method acting, crying for the role, dedication right there.
But then I would nearly got away with it, but then my actual teacher went, no, she messed it up, she forgot half of it. She's just generally upset. But I was like, oh damn it, nearly got like a point there, but never mind. Never mind. So what the joys of being a thespian. Right, so just to go back to why you're here and what you're doing on at the moment, if anyone's just joined us, you are promoting your new play, The Doppelgang. Is it anything to do with doppelgangers?
Well, I suppose we dress up as them, we impersonate them.
Okay,
in that sort
okay,
of sense,
okay.
So in that sense, yes.
Okay, I see what it does there. Right. Yeah. I don't know if it's a story about people, you know, looking
someone
like
else. Them. Well, it's just us basically in the second half, the characters that we play are impersonating them, and they're trying to basically pretend that they are the real Marx Brothers to get all this theatre packed so that they can get a bit of money behind them for the theatre that's failing, but also because of one of the characters, Tommy, needs to sort himself out.
So, it's a theatre play within a theatre play.
Yes, it's a play within
Inception.
A play within a play.
A play within a play. That's so cool. Well, brilliant. And it's on at the Tristan Bates Theatre. It's on now up until Saturday, the 11th of February.
Yep.
So, go check that out if you want to. Where would people go if they want to find tickets or whatnot?
Go to the Tristan Bates Theatre website. Just Google them or just go straight on.
Brilliant.
Other search sites are available. Just in case, you know, with product placement wise, I don't know.
Amazing. Get your tickets. Well, thank you so much for coming on. The theatre world, my next song is from one of my favourite things I've seen at the West End this year, which is School of Rock.
Oh, brilliant.
I saw it on the opening night in New York, and then I happened to see a year to the day later, I saw the opening night in London, so it was really cool. But so this is a song called Stick It to the Man. So it's basically like the Jack Black movie, but I actually prefer it to the movie because the kids all play and sing their instruments live on stage every night. I was at the end, they came out and went, by the way, the kids just all perform live to you, and we were like, what? Mind blown.
So jealous.
These little like tiny things that are more talented than you'll ever be in like a lifetime, and you're like, oh, you have no idea, no training or anything. And it was it was absolutely brilliant. So this is Stick It to the Man from School of Rock. Thank you so much for Rock It Out, Back Row and Chill.
since the world began. Don't just sit and take it, stick it to the man. Rant and rave and scream and shout, get all of your aggression out. They try to stop you, let them know exactly where they all can go. And do it just as loudly as you can, stick it to the man. Parents overwork ya, stick it to the man. Hate the way they jerk ya,
stick it to the man.
Tired of the system, stick it to the man. Rise up and resist them, stick it to the man.
Totally singing along with that. Love it. So yeah, that was School of Rock. If you're into your Jack Black comedy style rock, go see that in the West End right now. I'm not sure what theatre is that. It's in oh, I don't know.
There's too many theatres. There's too many theatres.
I know where it is. It's near Drury Lane, but I can't remember right now. So going back a little bit into what's going on in the world right now in terms of entertainment, we had the Golden Globes, which was now the week before last, which was, so the Golden Globes sort of set it off, and then we've got People's Choice Awards, which has just happened, which actually I wrote down, I quite like, because the Golden Globes and the Oscars and the BAFTAs, which are yet to come, they are obviously selected by a panel, or by memberships and whatever, and there's a slight little bit la-di-da essence around them. But the People's Choice Awards, obviously it's voted for by the people who actually watch this stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel that it's maybe a little bit more representation of what the general public actually think. So the winners were Melissa McCarthy won Best Comedic Actress, which I'm agreeing with. I loved
her.
Yeah,
I'd 100% back that.
I just love that woman. Like, if I could get in her brain or a film or her knickers or whatever, I would. And so, yeah, she won Comedic Actress. Robert Downey Jr. won Favourite Movie Actor.
He's my favourite actor, so.
Is he?
Yes.
I don't know what my favourite actor is. Who are the, I love a Denzel Washington. But Robbie Downey Jr. is fantastic. Big Bang Theory won Favourite Network Comedy, which again, I mean, they're just smashing it. They're on like 10 series now. I think they might be doing more series than Friends did, which
they
is
will
just,
never stop.
Yeah, that's just crazy. They get millions per episode, so they never will. Now, Justin Timberlake won Favourite Male Singer, which was an odd... I mean, I can't remember him releasing anything really big this year, last year.
I swear he does more acting than singing now.
I know, like, that was a weird
Didn't
one.
Know that was a thing.
And Jennifer Lopez won Best TV Crime Actress, so not for her singing, but for her acting.
Bit weird.
And then what was a bit of a controversial one, which was Johnny Depp won Favourite movie icon, which I agree. I think like Jack Sparrow is one of the most iconic, one of the most amazing characters ever to be created, and is still going. Pirates of the Caribbean 5 and possibly 6.
That's another one. It's just going to go forever.
It's just going to keep going. You know, we're going to be taking our kids to the Pirates of the Caribbean 20. And yeah, so he won, and it was a bit emotional because obviously he's just come out and finalised his divorce and whatever. And I don't know where I stand. It's really hard on this one because he was accused of domestic violence. Mm. So on the one hand, I don't really want to, you know, continue following or applauding someone who does domestic violence. But on the other hand, if it's not true, I also don't want to condemn someone.
My opinion is that there's two sides to every story. Like, he's a celebrated actor for a reason. And when they, like, give out these awards, they don't take into account everything else. It's literally just pure talent. So he should be rewarded for that. Like, no matter what's going on at home, you can never know what's true or what isn't. Yeah. So, like, I'd still be like, you go, Johnny, we love you, just don't beat anyone up.
It's just, it's hard, because, like, yeah, obviously she, there are people saying she made the abuse claims for the divorce to get more money. And then on the other side, she actually had photos of her with a smashed up face. And it's like, does that mean that she smashed it herself? Like, it's kind of, and I just feel really bad because I really like Johnny Depp, or I like Johnny Depp, and then it's one of those catch 22, or it's that thing where, if somebody is over a rumour about you, whether it's true or not, are you still stained? Like, if someone says the word pedophile,
I think you are, because
to you,
like, once there's like a seed of doubt in your mind, you can never get rid of that, and it's just going to grow.
So I'm going to like see, now I've got a seed of doubt about Johnny Depp, and you know, because obviously Jack Sparrow, amazing character, but maybe the man is a little bit more crooked. So that was People's Choice of Awards, and obviously the Golden Globes, and now Meryl Streep won. She won like a Lifetime Achievement Award, and she absolutely just flew around the internet with her acceptance speech, because and actually it made me tear up a little bit. It was a very, very powerful speech. So I wanted to play it. I didn't get a chance to last week, so now we've got a little time to this week. So this was Meryl Streep accepting her award. And just, I'll just let you decide. She decided to choose this because she got a couple of minutes, you know, instead of talking about herself, she decided to talk about, without mentioning him, Donald Trump and sort of the effects of that. And she just did it so well without sort of really hate shaming. Anyway, shut up, Johanna. Let's just play the bloody Meryl Streep thing. Here we go.
I've lost my voice in screaming and lamentation this weekend. And I have lost my mind sometime earlier this year, so I have to read. Thank you, Hollywood Foreign Press. Just to pick up on what Hugh Laurie said, you and all of us in this room really belong to the most vilified segments in American society right now. Think about it. Hollywood, foreigners, and the press. But who are we? And you know, what is Hollywood anyway? It's just a bunch of people from other places. I was born and raised and educated in the public schools of New Jersey. Viola was born in a sharecropper's cabin in South Carolina, came up in Central Falls, Rhode Island. Sarah Paulson was born in Florida, raised by a single mom in Brooklyn. Sarah Jessica Parker was one of seven or eight kids from Ohio. Amy Adams was born in Vicenza, Veneto, Italy. And Natalie Portman was born in Jerusalem. Where are their birth certificates? And the beautiful Ruth Nega was born in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, raised in London, in Ireland, I do believe. And she's here nominated for playing a small town girl from Virginia. Ryan Gosling, like all the nicest people, is Canadian. And Dev Patel was born in Kenya, raised in London, and is here for playing an Indian raised in Tasmania. So Hollywood is crawling with outsiders and foreigners. And if we kick them all out, you'll have nothing to watch but football and mixed martial arts, which are not the arts.
Thank you.
They gave me 3 seconds to say this, so. An actor's only job is to enter the lives of people who are different from us and let you feel what that feels like. And there were many, many, many powerful performances this year that did exactly that. Breathtaking, compassionate work. But there was one performance this year that stunned me. It sank its hooks in my heart. Not because it was good. There was nothing good about it. But it was effective and it did its job. It made its intended audience laugh and show their teeth. It was that moment when the person asking to sit in the most respected seat in our country imitated a disabled reporter, someone he outranked in privilege, power, and the capacity to fight back. It kind of broke my heart when I saw it, and I still can't get it out of my head because it wasn't in a movie. It was real life. And this instinct to humiliate when it's modeled by someone in the public platform, by someone powerful, it filters down into everybody's life because it kind of gives permission for other people to do the same thing. Disrespect invites disrespect. Violence incites violence. When the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose. Okay, go up with that thing. Okay, this brings me to the press. We need the principled press to hold power to account, to call them on the carpet. Every outrage. That's why our founders enshrined the press and its freedoms in our Constitution. So I only ask the famously well-heeled Hollywood foreign press and all of us in our community to join me in supporting the committee to protect journalists, because we're going to need them going forward, and they'll need us to safeguard the truth. One more thing. Once, when I was standing on the set one day, whining about something, you know, we were going to work through supper or the long hours or whatever, Tommy Lee Jones said to me, "Isn't it such a privilege, Meryl, just to be an actor?" Yeah, it is. And we have to remind each other of the privilege and the responsibility of the act of empathy. We should all be very proud of the work Hollywood honors here tonight. As my friend, the dear departed Princess Leia, said to me once, take your broken heart, make it into art. Thank you for it.
Amazing, amazeballs. Mm-hmm. What a woman. Got all goosebumps. So, yeah, really true what she said. And amazing that she had a Lifetime Achievement Award and she decided to use it for that, which I saw a funny meme sort of saying, like, Donald Trump really must feel like shit if Meryl Streep used her Lifetime Achievement Award to call him out. It's like, dude! Right, yeah, so that's that. And I think the next awards ceremony is going to be the BAFTAs, which we are going to have. I think Noel Clarke is going. I'm not sure if I'm going, but we're going to have loads of inside gossip about that, so make sure you tune in around the 12th of February because we're going to have all the BAFTA news and gossip and whatnot. And oh man, can you imagine the BAFTA? Everyone's at the BAFTAs. Mm-hmm. Everyone. It's like
there'll be some mad drama going on there.
I know. Can you imagine the after party? like twerking with Emma Stone and
literally, you need to have that as like the title of a video. Just get it out there, like
just as a vlog. Can you imagine the vlog? I'll just wear a GoPro on my head. It'd be amazing. Right. So as I was saying earlier, I got to interview a lot of the who are they? Well, the celebrities and also the director of the new XXX movie, which came out last week. So I thought I would show you my interview first with Ruby Rose and then DJ Caruso, because I really enjoyed talking to the both of them. I mean, meeting Ruby Rose was like amazing for me.
I'm so jealous.
Huge girl crush on her. Huge girl crush. Although I was a little bit sad when I sort of met her in person. She wasn't quite what I was. And that always happens though when you have an image of what you think someone is.
So when you meet your hero, hero never lives up to its expectations.
Yeah, she was more. I think I really fancy Ruby when she's kind of being like a boy.
And maybe she plays like a feisty male and it works for her.
And I met her and she was so feminine. She more feminine than she was wearing like these thigh high leather boots, this mini skirt. I was just like, oh, hello. This is Lady Ruby Rose. Anyway, so let's play what I got chatting to her about.
Right. So, well, first of all, just how did you get involved with this movie?
I was really lucky to get involved super early on. I had Vin had always sort of had me in mind for the character of Adele. Yeah. He's really hands-on because this is his baby. He loves Xander and he's a producer on it as well. So he got the script sent to me via Joe Roth, another amazing producer. And I read up to kind of my opening sequence to find out that she was an animal activist in her spare time. And I was like, I'm absolutely doing this film.
Done.
Yeah, done deal. And knowing that Sam Jackson and Vin were doing it, that's all I needed. And as the cast grew, I realised that I'd made a wonderful, wonderful decision.
It was so refreshing to see a girl on, like, in this kind of movie, which I could relate to, which wasn't, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah.
She's so badass, and she doesn't have to use sexuality to be super cool. And I was just like, Amen, sister, in the cinema. I was so happy to see
that's
such a
definitely
kick-off.
Yeah, one of the coolest parts of the film is having these three, you know, really different, wildly different, unique female characters.
Women, but, yeah.
That are really strong. And you know, like Adele doesn't use, you know, sexuality to accomplish anything because I don't think she knows how. I just don't think her brain is wired like that. She's pragmatic and she's super skilled at, you know, being a sniper, and I don't think it kind of really enters her mind. As opposed to being a decision, I think she's just like, what?
And had you ever shot a gun before, or was it literally like from scratch?
Yeah, I was really gun shy. I'd never seen one or touched one before my first film, you know, in the States. And I did two, but they were with much smaller like handguns. And to move to a sniper is a completely different kind of machine. And they're like 20 pounds and you can't make them any. I was like, can we get this, but like a lighter version? No, that's not a thing. And learning how to you know, aim and how to take shots. And you really have to learn how to slow down your heart rate and take your breathing really seriously. And yeah, and the wind and everything matters because you're taking shots from so far away. And learning all of that was really fascinating because I didn't know how much went into it.
And remembering your lines and hanging from a tree.
Yeah.
That's like multitasking women. So.
Yeah, that's why they needed women in this film because men couldn't have done it.
I think I'd probably start off with a water gun and be like, guys, can we just build
up? Yeah, right? It should be really deadly with that. And now you're all wet. It's like you're in the Dominican Republic. It's boiling. We actually quite like the wet.
Now, I heard from Nina that there was a little bit of like sort of pranking or some fun going on like behind the scenes, but she wouldn't like fully tell me what was happening. What was going on behind stage? Was there like...
Well, she made the mistake of saying to me one time that she was like notorious for being this prankster and then that, you know, like she was the best prankster in the world. And I'm like, come on now, come on. Let's see. And then like that day she scared me, but she just hid in my trailer and she had her iPhone on like a slow-mo, which I was like, thanks, because nothing looks good in slow-mo. And she just jumped out and I was like, ah. But if it wasn't in slow-mo, it would have been like 2 seconds. But in slow-mo, I was like, and I was like, you are gone. And so then it proceeded to be like hundreds of photos of me like in her trailer. So she looked obsessed with me. And I took out her actual costume and put in like an outfit that I got from a sex store. I like bought this little like nurse outfit and put it in there and had it steamed by like wardrobe. And she was like,
she didn't know
what
was there.
She had no idea. She was like, why on earth is this in my costume? And costume were like, no, it was Ruby. So we had a lot of that happening, and that was kind of one of the joys of working on set with Nina.
Nice. That's super cool. Do you like that this was a role that you got to fully display? Because tattoos were part of this movie. All the cool characters had, like, you know, there was lots of shots, and they even talked about it in the movie, like, oh, this is from this when, this is from here. Are you happy that you finally got to show your art?
Well, yeah, but I actually, you know, I made a decision to cover. So I went through the makeup process of covering all of them, or most of them, and then putting new tattoos on top that I thought would be more relevant to Adele, because some of them worked, but others, I didn't really think Adele would have like a Ninja Turtle tattoo, for instance. And I kind of was like, maybe I'll change that. So I got things to do with, you know, Sniper had things to do with that kind of the technical side of that, like my kill count and the wind and all the mathematics sort of on my knuckles, and just had it changed a little bit.
That's cool, because I did not notice that, so thank you.
That must look real then. I should thank the makeup team.
Yeah, no, seriously. I was like, oh, they used to have real tattoos.
Nope.
So okay, cool. This film is literally a punch you in the face, adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
What is your process from like reading a script to then actually creating that?
I think the process is, you know, is you always dream up a movie in your head as you're creating the sequences, and then you start to imagine the cast members you're going to have in there. And then ultimately in the action sequences, and because you have a character like Xander Cage who goes at 120 miles an hour all the time, as a filmmaker, I wanted that energy and that sort of kinetic feel to be in the action sequences, and not to shoot the action sequences from like a distance, but to put you in the middle of the action sequences. Like you said, they punch you in the face and that. So exactly. I think the process is just making sure that you as a filmmaker put the viewer in there with the characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was the chair. Just gonna say my leather trousers are squeaking on the chair. And,
yeah.
Okay. And are you super involved with like the design and the edit as well? Do you go?
Oh yeah, yeah. You're super design. You know, I lived. You cut the movie on the weekends. I'd go in the editing room and cut the movie, and then after you wrap, you have 10 weeks, and you know every little design element. I worked with John Billington, the production designer, to design all the sets. And so, yeah, you're heavily involved with all that. Yeah.
And you're going, do you also get to choose where you're going in the world? Because you go to some lush
places. Yeah, you know, yeah, you get to choose. You write certain things, and sometimes the studio's like, you can't afford that. But we sent units out all over, so we went from Africa to Brazil to the Philippines to the Dominican Republic.
London,
Toronto. Yeah, we did a lot. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like that London was in the film. I was like, hotel.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I felt like, last night as I was sitting there, I'm like, yeah, this is looks like exactly where we were when we shot this. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you had the premiere last
night. Yeah, we had the premiere
last night.
Did it
go down well?
Yeah, it went really well.
Yeah?
Really well.
It's cold. I think people were saying it's cold.
Yeah, it was cold, but it wasn't that bad.
And you have a really diverse cast. Like, first 10 minutes, I was like, this is amazing. There's people from everywhere. Was that something that was really important to you, or did it just sort of happen?
It was important. It happened because what we thought was, like, the first two movies, XXX was very sort of USA-centric, you know, and now that Xander Cage has been gone for 15 years, we thought, like, why don't we just make this global? Sam Jackson's character, Gibbons, would be pulling all these amazing people from all over the world and make this a global agency. And so from the very onset, that was our goal. And then you go, great, let's get Donnie Yen, let's get Deepika, let's get Ruby Rose. Oh, we got Chris Wu, Tony Jaa. So it was just amazing, you know, get Michael Bisping. And so it was just, it allowed us to go out and like pull all these characters from all over the world and put them all in one agency.
And there was also some really cool roles for girls.
Yeah.
Which I was very thankful for. I think Nina and Ruby's roles especially.
Yeah.
Because there is an element of XXX films that can be quite, it's teenage boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Wet dream. And, and I was just really happy that there were some characters in there that really got to kick butt and...
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, you'll see there's, like, obviously in Xander's world, you have the girls and you have some bikinis and you have certain things, but the most important element, the biggest surprise in the movie is, like, I just think Ruby, Deepika, and Nina are these incredibly beautiful but talented, smart characters that literally are, you know, equal to Xander Cage. They're not like his little sidekicks or anything. I mean, when Deepika and Vin are standing there, she's looking at the mirror in the mirror of her version of him, and he's looking at his version of her. And then Ruby is just such a dynamic, amazing creature. She can do anything. And Nina, the biggest surprise about Nina for me was her timing and sense of humor of comedy.
Oh, comedy,
like,
yeah.
I know, yeah.
She pulled that one out.
This physical comedy, like she had this Lucille Ball kind of thing. And so from the very first take when she came out, I was like really blown away by like the humor. And because that's something I hadn't really seen in Nina's work prior.
Yeah, yeah. She's never done that. I said to her when I met her, I was like, you need to do more comedy. Because like,
exactly.
Yeah. And how did you get involved with it?
Vin and I, for the past few years, have been trying to find a project together. We developed a few things, but they didn't really kind of come together. And then Vin said, I want to reintroduce Xander Cage. And he called me one day, and I said, yeah, man, I'm on board. Let's do that.
I'm down. All of the world. And just really quickly, what's next? What's your next?
I'm working on a little movie called God is a Bullet, which is a really kind of extreme character piece about a girl who was an ex-heroin addict who was taken over by a cult, who sort of escaped that cult, and she helps the father get his daughter out of this cult. And it's crazy drama and really great relationship story with some really cool action.
That's mental. That's literally my life.
Is that your life?
Yeah, you're doing my biography.
Well,
that's
good.
Really
well, we're going to audition you later, so just hang out.
Totally.
Back here. Okay, cool.
I'm your girl.
All right.
That was amazing.
Nice
Thank
to meet
you,
you
so much.
Thank you so much.
So that was my previous interview with DJ Caruso, and he was such a nice director guy. So, yeah, lovely. Right, it is time. We've got our second guest on. Well, you're not really a guest. You're a regular. Lucy Patterson's back on.
Hello.
It's time for some film review. So we're going to talk about what we have seen, whether we liked it, whether we didn't, and just basically let you know whether or not you should waste your time on it or invest your time and money and everything in it. So what has everybody seen? We can bring it to... What have you seen, Lucy?
Well, today, I actually had a double bill cinema day today because I slacked all week and just didn't bother going anywhere. So I've got a bit of fit in. I saw Manchester by the Sea today first. And I would say... I can understand why everyone's going so mad about it and why everyone's got millions of awards and this, that and the other. The acting is absolutely flawless from everybody. It's absolutely amazing. So understated and natural, and I love that sort of acting, you know.
Yeah.
You can be hilarious if you want, and you can stab someone in the face and do this and do that, and you have all the special effects. But when it's stripped down to a drama like this one... Mm-hmm. It really does show who's talented and who isn't. It's quite a heartbreaking story, actually. It's Casey Affleck, he stars in it.
Ben Affleck's little bro.
Yeah, and at times you think, is that Ben or is that Casey? You know, he really does look like
him.
His brother dies and he ends up having to go back to his hometown to make arrangements for his son and the funeral and things like that. And it turns out that something in his past happened that was really, really heartbreaking that made him move. And it's basically just the story about that and him trying to deal with it and things like that. And like I said, I can see why everyone's gone so mad. Don't know whether you should go to the cinema, though. It doesn't need to be seen on the big screen, you know?
That's what I said. My parents said to me, we want to go out. What do you suggest, La La Land or Manchester by the Sea? And I was like, they're both brilliant.
Yeah.
Definitely make sure you see both. But out of the two, I would say La La Land, make sure you see it on a big screen.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's got all of that. And But Manchester by the Sea, you could easily
watch that at home.
You could like snuggle up on the sofa and be just as engrossed because it will pull
exactly.
you in.
I mean, it's such it's not a lovely story, but you know, the resolutions you kind of get at the end, it's quite rewarding to watch. I did cry a couple of times, I must admit.
Yeah.
Usually it takes me to the end of the film to cry, but I cried a few times through this one. I really hope that there is some more recognition for the guy who played the son, Lucas Hedges.
Yeah, the young boy in it.
He was
brilliant.
So good. The chemistry them two had as well, like just bouncing off each other, it was absolutely amazing.
So, the Affleck plays his uncle, and because his brother died, he's now sort of in charge of this teenager, and which is interesting because they've done a lot of stories where people have become in charge of children or small children, and that they've done that story quite a few times.
Yeah,
but this one is like when you're in charge of a teenager, nearly an adult.
He's 16. Yeah,
he's just about to be an adult, but he's not quite. It's like
troubling age.
Yeah, exactly.
And he is a proper teenager. He's got two girlfriends.
Yeah, and I thought that character was absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
so well written and so well acted. You could tell a lot of it was improv. They obviously just let the camera roll and just, you know,
just
go. I love that. I love watching that.
And there's a scene as well with Michelle Williams and Casey Affleck. And it's meeting an ex when there is so much history and things haven't been apologised for.
Yeah.
And that, oh my God.
Oh, it's just there's so much left to say. And they were talking over each other and everything, but it just didn't matter. It didn't look messy. It looked absolutely amazing. I think they're both brilliant actors.
And I was just sitting there like, you know, you didn't even want to eat popcorn at that point. You're
just like open mouth.
Yeah, like, oh my God, I feel you. I've been in that. We've all been in that situation with an ex where you've got to have that awkward. And they just nailed it.
They really did.
So Manchester by the Sea, huge thumbs up.
Yes, absolutely.
And I went to see La La Land on my own on Saturday night.
Brilliant.
It was great. But I had one of those because so many people had like, you know, la-di-da'd about it.
Yeah.
No. and then, you know, how fabulous it was. And it was, like, technically beautiful film. But it wasn't the film that I thought I was going to see. I thought I was going to see more of a happy film.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
When actually...
it's quite devastating.
It's quite down. And I found myself crying. I wasn't in the best mood when I went to go see it. And I went going, I'm in a rubbish film. This is an argument. I'm going to go in and cheer me up. And then I felt worse. Because
I can see why.
It's not the, without giving away spoilers, it is, you know, it's quite a sad story.
Yeah.
And I really, being someone who's an actress and I've been through years of like 4 or 5 years of auditioning and stuff, and Emma Stone just absolutely nails
it. It was literally like taking a bullet every time. I think you're just like, I know that feeling.
I know that feeling.
It's horrible.
And apparently she wrote the opening scene of the film, which is her in an audition room, Emma Stone in an audition room, actually happened to her. She suggested it to the director and said, actually, can this be written into the film? Oh, because I feel this actually happened to me. And as soon as they did that, the film opens and she's at an audition, one of those LA ones, and there's a panel of people, and she's having to do this really emotional scene on her phone, or pretending to be on her phone, and she's just actually getting into it, and she's quite good.
She's absolutely nailing it, isn't she?
And then suddenly the door swings open behind her and some assistant runs in and says, oh, someone's on the phone, and then she just freezes and she doesn't know what's the protocol. Does she just wait and then continue her emotion after, or does she start again? And she's just there, poor little thing, with her phone up against her ear,
tears in her eyes,
like, oh, do I carry on or not? And they're having this conversation just over
horrid.
Her, and then they're like, oh, look, we've seen enough, thank you. And from that moment on, you had her heart, and you were invested in her, and it was fine. But the fact that actually happened to Emma, and like, whoever actually did that to Emma Stone all those years ago will be kicking themselves now.
God, yeah.
She's probably going to win the Oscar, and they would have been like, but that's how mad it is, isn't it? Like, and someone who can win an Oscar can also be in an audition where they're just kicked out and like overlooked. So that gives me so much hope.
Good.
Because
I hope it does.
Sometimes people, they don't see what they want to see.
People see different things in different people.
Yeah.
And you just got to wait for the person that does. And the people that don't, you know, like we saw in the film, they'd be sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Auditions, I heard a thing about Keira Knightley when she was first starting, and she had a bit of buzz around her because she did the Pirates of the Caribbean, a lot of buzz. And she was getting like different offers. And she went in, she was put up for this film... I think it was The Jacket. It's quite a dark,
dark
weird indie film. Yeah. And initially the director went, no way am I going to have Keira Knightley in my movie. Like, she's a little princess from
Disney
Hollywood.
Princess,
she's like, no. And they were like, so she went into audition and she had a vomiting virus and she was like, I can't go in. They were like, this is your one chance.
Yeah.
Like, this director's not fond of you, so you turn up or whatever.
Yeah.
So she went in like with sick bucket. And apparently, like, nailed the performance because she
amazing.
Was so ill and like, and she had no makeup on. She looked really grungy and she was like vomiting in the bucket. And the director changed and said, "Yep, you got the role." So she got her first like indie role from vomiting.
Nice.
So then she
stomach bugs are the way to go, quite clearly.
Yeah, so she'd probably pretend she had a stomach bug for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting little. I love those little tidbits of like why
Lovely.
People get things and why they don't. So yeah, overall, La La was beautiful. And initially, I didn't love the songs, and they weren't super super catchy, and I was like, do you even need the song?
Yeah,
because the film's strong enough without everyone bursting into song every now and then.
Yeah,
but then having said that, I have what's been on my Spotify has been the La La Land soundtrack.
Really?
And Ryan Gosling, and yeah, so I'm loving the soundtrack and the film. So yeah, have you seen anything?
So like I said, I've seen Lego Batman Sing super recently. Oh, which are great.
I'm going to see Sing tomorrow with my nephew.
You're going to love it. It's amazing.
I'm so excited.
I was like, there's so many ups and downs. I was like, laughing. There were parts where I was like almost crying.
Oh, I love stuff like that.
Like, it's just so relatable. Even though it's singing animals, it's super relatable. Like, there's just so many things going on. And it's not that often that I watch a cartoon that I'm like, wow, like, that made me feel so much. To say I'm not a child.
I love an animation.
I do too.
It was, you were really like it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. And what else did you see, Lucy?
I saw Bye Bye Man today.
Which is the horror.
Yeah, it's the horror film. And it's, you know, your standard formulaic. They move into some creepy old house and some urban legend bullshit rears its ugly head. And it was just so atrocious. And I sometimes don't understand how things get to the cinema.
Yeah. How did they get funded?
I really don't get it. You know, I could have written that in my bedroom and gone to somebody, there you go. And would they have produced it? Probably not. So I don't know how the hell this happened. But it was just... It was nothing new. It was not refreshing. We've had Lights Out recently. We've had Don't Breathe. They've been twists on different...
Yeah.
You know, they've been refreshing. Newer ideas, things like that. Not just the normal, there's a hooded figure in my house. And it had this really weird CGI...
Oh, hey, so the CGI.
...dog with it that had no skin. And it was just... You know, it's the usual urban legend stuff. Don't say his name, don't think his name, whatever. Bit like... Yeah. Candyman, don't say it five times in the mirror.
Or Voldemort.
Exactly.
You know.
Or Bloody Mary and things
not
like
new,
that.
Not new.
A bunch of teenagers just getting murked, basically. but yeah, it was also a little bit of a rip-off of certain things.
Set in London?
America. It was American. It was on a college campus. They decide that they want to live off campus now. It's a couple and their friend, and they go and live in this creepy old house that's, mm-hmm. you know, on the outskirts of their campus. Funny things start to happen, like they hear coins drop in the night, they hear doors slamming, you know, standard horror film, boring stuff. And then they find some writing in this drawer in a nightstand and start saying it out loud or whatever. And obviously you're not supposed to say bye-bye, man, or even think it. And it tells you in flashback the origins of the story and what happened at first. And it's about, you know, researching into it and where it came from and what to do to get rid of it. And they basically just stole the ending of a recent horror film that I've seen before, ripped off the score from It Follows. It was, I was sitting there going, what is this? And there was,
it's
some
like a patchwork
15-year-old, it was just me and this 15-year-old that was sitting like a few rows behind me.
Hot date.
I know, I was like, it was actually so far away from me as well. I was like, ah. But he kept going, oh my god, this is so good, like, so I could hear him. And at the end I was like, it was fucking terrible. He was going, oh no, it wasn't that bad. But yeah, if you want to just, I don't know, have a Saturday night in with a film you can ignore and you like a horror, then watch
chill.
It.
If you want to chill with someone.
Exactly. But it's out in the cinema at the moment, but don't bother going to see it.
Okay. I'm going to pop to a quick song and then we can get back to our film reviews. What have I got left to play? Oh, I'm going to go for, I'm going to go for Rhythm of the Night by DeBarge. It's been many, many, many movies, but most recently was in the new Ghostbusters. So let's have a little bit of a boogie.
Lovely.
And then come back.
Got you going crazy. It's time to get out. Step out into the street where all of the action is right there at your feet. Well, I know a place where we can dance the whole night away underneath the electric stars. Just come with me and we can shake your blues right away. You'll be doing fine once the music starts. Celebration starting under the street lights. The scene is being set. A night for romance, a night you won't forget. So come join the fun. This ain't no time to be staying home. Ooh, there's too much going on.
The rhythm of the night.
Oh, the rhythm of the night.
Joe and Jill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to the very last part of Back Row and Chill. Got Lucy Patterson and Amber Dawn. It's all ladies for the first time ever on the show's history.
So
it's a full fanny show.
Yes.
So exciting. We're just sort of closing down our film review. And one thing that I did get to go and see last week was Fences, the new film with Denzel Washington and Viola Davis, which, again, I didn't know anything about. I just went in because I knew that I was interviewing Viola, so I had to see the film. And again, that one, I feel like I've been crying everything that I've seen, La La Land and everything.
I saw the trailer again today and I'm so excited to see
it. And what was interesting was, so obviously I didn't know what it was or anything about the history, and I went in and I clocked, like, sort of 10 minutes in, I went, this feels like a play.
Really?
I was like, this, because they don't leave the house or all the garden.
Isn't it based on
it's based from a play, which is why I was like, okay, so they don't go anywhere other than the house or the garden in the film. So, and they do very, very long takes. When I was talking to Viola, she was saying that they did it, they filmed it all in linear as well, which they don't normally do in films. So they filmed it like a play, and it became more intense because obviously you don't get to go anywhere, you're just stuck inside this little house, and which made the drama more. So to set the scene, it's set in the 50s in America, in this about black family, and she, Viola plays the 50s housewife, and he plays the guy, he works he's a dustbin man, and he wanted to play in the baseball when he was younger, but he wasn't allowed on the team because he was black, and he's got this vendetta against sort of the sports industry because of that, because he never got the chance to play. But now his son, so years and years later, now in the 50s, his son has been invited onto the football team and getting a football scholarship, and he won't let his son do it because he's like
bitter.
So it sort of starts off around that, and then things heat up, and then their marriage seems really solid. Between they're really nice relationship. They're really playful and quite sexual with the husband and wife. And then this huge bomb gets dropped on them, that he's been unfaithful. And
no, Denzel.
And he's about to have a baby with someone else.
Oh my God.
That's pretty serious.
Wow.
So it's like this kind of drama which has got racial tension, and then like now this huge and because it was in the 50s. And there's this amazing scene, which is why Viola, why she won the Golden Globe and why I think she could win the Oscar. So it's going to be a tough thing between, I put it against Emma's, and I was like, oh, Emma's performance in La La Land. And I didn't know which one, if I was on the committee, I don't know which one I would choose. Because Viola, oh my gosh, this just came flying out. And well, it comes flying out of nowhere from an audience perspective, but you get the news a second before Viola does. So you're a little bit like, oh, I know. Ooh, and then you're like, car crash about to happen. But she gets the news, and it's like, even though it was set in the 50s or whatever, it is just as relevant as if someone told you they've been cheating on you today. She did it like... I was in tears. Anyone who's ever had their heart broken, you just like boom. And she, but then also the horribleness of in the 50s, you can't just storm out and be like,
no,
F you, and off you go. She's stuck because she doesn't have a job, and he provides. And you know, she even asks the question, so what are you going to do? Are you going to continue to see this woman?
Oh my God.
Because you're
just stuck. Oh, you literally cannot go anywhere. Imagine that. Oh, my God.
Awful. It's the worst thing that could happen.
So I was sitting there, like, being really engrossed in the film and it really affecting me. So obviously it worked. But then also me sitting there going, oh, my God, what would I have done? I probably would have killed him.
Yeah.
Or chop something off. If I can't, she can't. But it really made me think about it. And it was not that long ago. It's only within the last century, like 50 years ago, so of a generation or a generation above us. And I was just like, whoa. So it was kind of, the film touches on really sensitive, but in a really good way, on like the theme, I would say, the overall theme of Fences is becoming your parents or repeating the past. Yeah. He talks, Denzel's character, you don't like him. He's
so good at playing an asshole.
He's an
really
asshole.
Is.
But then you also understand through these big monologues that he has, and that his dad fucked up
yeah.
with him, and he's been desperate to not do what the his dad thing, did. Yeah. But then in the way that he's parenting his son, he's fucking up again. Yeah. And it's a bit like, are we all destined to still be
to
our
repeat
parents?
These
and,
patterns.
And,
yeah.
yeah, or like, you know, if you try so hard to be away from your parents, do you go full circle? And really powerful, and Viola was amazing, and it was really yeah. So it was good, but it was quite, I thought it did things quite long.
Yeah,
it definitely was the length of a play, but there was no interval.
Yeah, so you literally got numb bum by the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, you didn't get out of the house or the garden, and you were a bit desperate to be like, oh, I just need to get
a
out of the house.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's like having a drama under a pressure cooker. Mm. So it's brilliant. So I definitely go see it. And everyone's talking about Viola, but I would say Denzel, amazing.
That man is always amazing, isn't he? I mean, yeah. You know, no matter what he does, he's just amazing. And I don't care what Noel says, we've had this argument before, he's aging beautifully.
Yeah,
I don't care what he looks like in that film, he's still got that thing about him.
He is. Yeah, no, he is. He's what, he must be
70, don't know.
60
well, I thought it was like 50.
No,
is
I think
damn,
I know, I think he's older, so I know the yeah, we're all saying yeah, yeah.
Denzel. We love Denzel.
And a name like Denzel as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's a sexy name.
It's all about the name. Yeah, no, so I saw Fences and that was brilliant. And next week's show, we're going to play my interview with Viola because I got to have 5 minutes with her. And what was crazy was, obviously, I saw the movie where she's dressed up like this sort of diddy 50s housewife and she's got grey hair, and I'm pretty sure they padded her out
yeah.
because then when I went to meet her,
completely different.
She looked like 20 years younger really? And I always thought it was the wrong woman for a minute. She looked amazing and had like red lipstick yeah. and was in this like little like leather dress and stuff. I was just like, oh, you're not the
right person.
And then she was saying that they did do a big physical transformation yeah. for her. But I was like, wow. And I think she is in her 50s, but she looks like in her 50s.
Wow. She's still amazing, yeah.
Oh my God, she's beautiful. Oh, so that'll be happening on next week's show. Right, so did you see anything else, or was that the end of...
Well, I did a little blog post a few days ago about horror remakes
mm-hmm.
And how they're all right. If I go and see them and like them.
Yeah.
if they're on my list, then they're fine, you know. But sometimes they can be absolutely pointless. Remaking a classic from, you know, the 60s where they didn't have all these advances in special effects and things. Brilliant. Breathe new life into it. Make it more bloody excellent. But when a film was probably made about 4 years ago and then you remake it again, what was the point?
Oh, yeah.
Cabin Fever has been remade.
Okay.
That's quite a recent film, yeah. You know. They've remade it. They've released it on Sky recently. It came on yesterday, actually. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to give this a look because of the post I've recently written. And it was terrible. What is going on with horror lately?
So basically, if anyone's thinking of making a horror movie, you've got to run it past Lucy.
Run it past me first.
And she'll be your green light or yes. your red light. I don't enjoy horror films, but I kind of think that I would like to make one. Like, I'd like to yeah. make a jumpy. I would enjoy playing. Mm.
I'd love to
yeah,
be
oh,
one.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Nothing too devilly, but more sort of like just sort of spooky yeah. jumpy. Spooky jumpy. Mm.
Spooky
would
jumpy.
Be, you know,
yes.
basically a child's yeah. horror film. I would like to be in. Okay, brilliant. So we're at the end of the show now. Thank you so much, ladies. This is I'm liking having girls
I
in the
know,
studio.
Thank you.
Feeling like this is lush. So I hope you have a fantastic week. We're gonna exit now on the opening song to Kick Ass, because I just love this by Prodigy.
Nice.
So we're going to end. So thanks for listening, Background Chill. We're going to be back next week with guests and games, and we're going to be having prizes this year as well. We've got
so
some
exciting.
Got some signed stuff from Brotherhood DVD soundtrack, all signed and whatnot, and maybe even my knickers. We don't know. Who knows? Who knows? We'll see you guys next week. Thank you.